Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh, peace and blessings, my beloved brothers and sisters, family and friends. How are y'all doing this wonderful evening? I pray that this Friday was a day that left you with feeling so good that you had a job to go to, had something to do, enabled you to look forward to this Saturday and Sunday, God so allowed, with peace and tranquility, taking care of your business and being there with your family, doing things in the community that allows everybody to say that you are not wasting away the day. You're doing something to let God know that you appreciate what he does for you every day. My beloved brothers and sisters, last night I was talking about how important it is to have unity. And during the course of this day, I was walking throughout the community. And while doing so, as usual, I am always talking with God. And while doing that, always thankful that he talks with me. And I got to be honest with you. I'm grateful that he talks to me because he doesn't talk to a lot of people. And not that I'm special, because surely I'm nowhere near special. But I believe that the reason why he speaks with me is because of the fact that the one thing I try my very best to do is to be completely real with him. When I mess up, and Lord, to talk about messing up, my God, do I mess up. I come to him knowing that he can see me, and trust me, I mean, I'm coming vulnerable with humility so that he understands I'm not trying to come with no faking, no phony, no nonsense, no crap. And the next thing is, I believe that he talks with me because of the fact that I truly have a genuine love for him, meaning I respect him. I have honor for him. I hold him in high esteem. And next is, I really love people. And sometimes that love that I have for people can hurt. Last night when I was speaking honestly, to be completely for real with you, out of both allowing the Holy Spirit to lead me, that I quenched the spirit to some degree because I allow my feelings to take me in disarray. And the reason why I was feeling that was because of the fact that while walking, just simply walking around, you know, the devil has a tendency of making sure that you see the devastation of pain and suffering, trials and tribulations, upside-down situations, and such hardship until sometimes you just say, let me get up out of here. Yesterday, while I was walking around, I ran into some people who were just scheming, and I mean this with all of who I am. They were young individuals, couldn't be no older than about 25 on down, and they were sitting there scheming on what they would have to do in order for them to get on SSI. They had studied the different types of medications that would enable them to not get caught out there so badly, knowing what the medication would do, and cause them to get to a point of understanding that we can take this route and it would be less dangerous for us. And as I'm going through this thing, I am literally getting to a point to where I am just saying, Father God, the devil is a liar. How dare him do this to us? How dare him? And I was so upset until literally I stopped and I said to the people, and on this particular block that I was on, it's not a block that you be a stranger to be on and not mind your business. And I said to them, please, can I speak with y'all? And yeah, man, what you want? I said, man, I got to tell you, I love you. No, I'm not gay. I just want to tell you, I love you. That, but more importantly, God loves you so much. Until what y'all are talking about, it's not what God wants for y'all. Y'all are great men. Y'all could do great things. The only problem is, great things haven't been presented to you, or you don't believe that you can do great things that has to be presented to you. So you're taking the lowest route possible in order for you to survive. Please allow yourself to believe this is it. Yeah, man, but you got to understand, man, everybody is doing it. I said, my brother, no, not everybody. I went in and I took a card that I have to show that I have a monitor in my heart, well, in my chest. And I said, please take a look at this card. Now, they're ready to take the monitor out, to be honest with you, but they didn't know that, and of course, I didn't divulge such information. And to be honest, the reason why they're really willing to take it out is because I'm not adhering to the reality of what the monitor was put in there for. And if God's so going to take me, let it be according to you. Although, obviously, I'm going to take as best a care of myself as possible so that I don't help my condition to worsen. But as I pass out this monitor, I said to them, I am able to receive SSI. I don't have to wait. I don't have to do anything. All I have to do is go to Social Security. They will contact every doctor that has ever done anything to me in the last 15 years. And I can guarantee you that within a month or two, I will be receiving SSI. And so, yo, man, so you need to be getting that, man, because, I mean, that's free money. And I said, that's the reason why I don't want it. I don't want to get something that will stifle my ability to simply say that if I can't make $30 a day so that I can enjoy dignity of saying I can take care of myself at least to that level, then I need to be as poor as can be. If I cannot do that, then I need to be poor. And to be completely honest with you, my health is getting in a condition to where as long as I'm standing still and I'm doing what I do, selling socks or whatever it may be, I'm okay. But to move around, I don't need to be doing that a lot. Not saying I can't, but I don't need to be doing it a lot. And as I'm speaking with them, tears is coming down my eyes. I haven't told anybody about this. You're the first one that I'm... They're looking at me, and you can see that they're perplexed because they're saying, first, he's a stranger. He hasn't even told us his name. He ain't told us who he is. You know, nothing about him other than this, about him being sick. And how are we supposed to take this? We don't know whether or not we should whoop his behind because he might be crazy, or give him a hug because he might be crazy. But what he's speaking is in the form of love. So even if he's crazy, maybe we should just listen a little bit further. And by the time I finished, I gave him all a hug. I said, love you so much, man. Now take care of yourself. Think a little bit beyond what it is that you're getting ready to do, and I moved on. And it's like I took on their pain. So by the time I got to you, man, I was so upset with the devil until I'm trying to tell people, look, please pay attention to the fact that we as a black nation, and this is not about black or white or anything of that nature, but we as a black nation, we can do more if we allow ourselves the ability to look and say, it takes us together doing more than us being separated, in which the devil has caused us to become. So here today, right, I took a little walk, didn't go too far, but just to go talk with God as I normally do, and just feeling quite good, to tell you the truth, spiritually. I don't care how sick I get physically. It doesn't bother me in any shape, fashion, form. I don't care how much pain. I don't care. I just simply don't care. What I care about is God, please. More than anything in the world, is God, please. So I walked with you out the day, a little short walk, and there was a woman who was sitting down next to this young man, and she was trying to see whether or not she can compromise herself. And I'm saying, God, why didn't I go the other way? You know, like just simply, why didn't I go the other way? And he said to me, because I want you to feel as much passion for the people as you possibly can, because I'm about ready to do something with you that will ignite a fire of love that will cause people to know that I have not forgotten them. I said, okay, I got you. I'm in this. I'm in. You ain't got to tell me twice. I am in. And I sat down next to, I'm starting to get real crazy. I sat down next to the young girl, and I said to her, I told her a story that my mother had told me, that my mother actually had did, and I mean this with all of who I am. A friend of my mother threw some hot boiling grits in the face of this man who had molested her child. I was there when it happened. As a matter of fact, he tried to cause me to pull out my pants so that he can see my privacy. And, you know, I was kind of really bold. Well, actually, I've been like that all my life. And I told him no. And he actually went to hit me in my chest, and I hit him back. And before you know it, they were screaming all throughout the house. And when his mother, who was at my mother, who was next door, came through the door, she saw her son pants down and saw him struggling with me, because I was that kind of kid that if you hit me, you better knock me out, because I don't care how much pain I'm feeling at that time, I'm going to hit you back. And I was a kid, like maybe 7 years old, 7, 8 years old, and he was hitting me, and I mean hurt. It would hurt. I had bruises all over my chest, my back, but every time he hit me, I came back at him. And so she came in, and she said to him, baby, you need to go and relax. They used to call me Thumper. Thumper, get out of here. Go home. And the way she said it, I knew that something's going to happen that night. Well, it didn't happen that night. As a matter of fact, it happened the following day when she made him some grits. The house was smelling so good, full of breakfast, until oof, it made us. The next thing we heard was a yell, a screech. Grits was stuck to his face like paint to a wall. And she went to jail. My mother, which is why I'm telling you this story, in order to get her out of prison, to get her out of jail, to bail her out, my mother, prostitute, and I mean that with all of who I am. And she came out a few hours, and she went to my mama, and they hugged for dear life. And they assembled a group of people who testified that this man was doing these kind of things to children throughout the neighborhood, and no child would go up against him. And my mama told me that I was crazy, because still is. And before long, they let Francis, my God, my apologies, they let the woman go, and then took him, and he ended up going to jail. It was the assembly of people caring about their children that enabled them to make it so that this gentleman ended up going to prison. So as I was telling this story to this woman, she's looking at me and she said, the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing is for my children. And I said, do me a favor, please, please. I said, what I'm about to tell you, because I don't have, you know, a lot, please, get on the train, go to this place, and I guarantee you, by the time you get back, you will have what you need for your children. Now, I got to be honest, I didn't know whether or not if it would be or not. And I still don't know if anything happened, because I didn't give him a telephone number. But with the sincerity of God, she took it and she left. And I don't know if she got on a train. I don't know if she backtracked. I don't know. But I do know one thing is that God loves us so much until we should transfer that love to each other and want for each other what God wants for us. And that's the very best. And with that being said, I'm in Hebrews 10. Thank you, Jesus. And I will start at 19, okay? All right. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I'm going to read that again, okay? This is 25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. My brothers and sisters, I believe that the reason why God is allowing me to go throughout the neighborhood as he is, it's because he's getting ready to do something so tremendous until we won't have any other choice but to bring about a unity so that we can come to a point in life that everybody who sees us, and I'm not talking black now, I'm talking period, that everybody who sees us will see that we're family. I'm talking specifically for those who are believers, so that the believers can come to a point of simply saying, I need to be on their side, because not only am I see them prospering spiritually, not only do I see them prospering emotionally, not only do I see them prospering intellectually, but I see them prospering physically. I see things that's happening in their lives, and I hear the testimonies that is literally like that of a brush fire, causing us to know that we need to be on that side, and we don't have to be talking about things that have to do with SSI. We don't have to be talking about going down the welfare. We don't have to be talking about the things that allows people to simply say, we don't have what it takes. But we understand that we don't have what it takes. only by way of leaning on our own understanding and dependent solely on the separation in unity to build our family and community by the standards of the kingdom of God. And because of that, we must come to a point of first looking at ourselves and asking ourselves, why can't we do that which is of God so that we can become in the image of God, doing things according to his ways, which allows us to understand that we can do all things through Christ that will strengthen us, plus enable us the ability to let people know that love reigns wherever we stand. So I finally, during the course of the day, as I finished doing a few things here and there, I took a nap. And as I was traveling, I literally was seeing, here it is, God's wonders and signs and his beauty, which is so beyond measure, until we should be begging him to give us the Holy Spirit so that we can have the ability to have that true relationship. Because without him, we can't even do anything with him. Let's go to John 4:24. John 4:24. This is when Jesus is talking to a Samaritan woman. And as he is talking to her, she's getting so excited because she comes to find out that she's actually in contact with a prophet, the real deal. Okay, there we go. Jesus finally says to her, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Whew. That alone excites me. See, because that tells me that I cannot even get to God unless I allow the Holy Spirit to talk with me so that I have the ability to now have communion with the Creator of heaven and earth. And the reason why so many millions upon millions are not having the unity in which we need, it's because we have not allowed the Holy Spirit to drive us to that degree that God's love reigns, not R-A-I-N, but R-E-I-G-N, to reign in our lives to a point to where we want to have that unity that will enable us to say that we can do all things. We can make it so that our children can look and know that they are worth so much, that women are worth so much, that men are worth so much. But when we allow ourselves to simply believe that we are just singularly alone, we lead ourselves to a place that is filled with death. And death doesn't just come by the physical . It comes spiritual, emotional, intellectually. Death takes you in every shape, fashion, or form long before you get to be placed on the ground. And you must come to realize that you are special in the eyes of God. I'm not talking about this, I am a Christian, and yes, I'm saved by grace. And, oh, my God, I'm learning about Jesus. Oh, no, no, no. I'm talking about having that kind of relationship with God until you see through his eyes, not your own, but through his. I saw how the devil is trying to wipe us out. When it is said that he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, he's coming any way that he possibly can, until literally he's causing people to simply believe that they're not worth nothing. And that's what he wants you to do. Because as long as you feel as though that you're not worth nothing, then you won't be about nothing, so you can't do much of nothing, so you won't be effective in nothing. Because simply, the only people who is effective in this world is people who know that they are worth something. And I got to be honest, that's either they're worth something because they know that they have been saved by grace, or they feel like they're worth something because they are having the intellectual capability to help change the world. And at this point in my life, my brothers and sisters, to see somebody do something positive is simply something that I just want to see. I would love to meet the ones who's the non-believers and doing something in order to help change the world, in order to help build communities and be able to tell them about Jesus Christ. But if I can just get the opportunity to meet people who say, I want to help this world. I want to help people. I want to build families. I want to build community. I want to see a change. So much of the change that people say that I'm not about SSI. I'm not about scheming and scamming and trying to get however I can in every way I can. I'm not about being phony. I'm not about, I want to make a change. I want to see my children see a change. I want to see my family see a change. I want to make a difference in the lives of others as Christ has made a difference in our lives. Not the phony stuff, not the nonsense, no, not the crap. I'm talking about real authentic change. I don't care if it's inch by inch by inch by inch by inch. It doesn't matter. Just enough so that somebody can get a chance to say, wait a minute, there is some hope on the other side. I'm looking at something that is literally giving me the opportunity to believe that something great is about to happen. You see, through Jesus Christ, something great is about to happen. Something wonderful is about to happen. He's going to come and we're going to go home. So we should literally allow ourselves the ability to live our life not in vanity, but with the humility of the Holy Spirit, so that we can make that change together. I love y'all. God bless you. Take care of yourself. Bye-bye.